So we discussed yesterday, B'siat Lishmai, Mo Alochez on Yeshiva Sukkah. We continue in full speed, Siman Tov, Reish Lametes, Siv Dalet. The Alochez as follows. We discussed the eating, we discussed the sleeping. Yesterday we discussed in great detail the Alochez of sleeping in the Sukkah. Today we're going to be discussing the learning in the Sukkah, learning. And then we're going to be looking a little bit more about the Yorduk Shomim, about rain. Okay, so what about learning in the Sukkah? Shiva Siv Dalet, page 208 in our editions. Kol shivas yomim koyre b'soich ha-sukkah, all the 7 days of sukkahs, once you learn in the sukkah. Well, it's not really accurate, because koyre really means reading. Veloy made means learning. So, all that, learning, reading, anything, any academic studies that you want to, that should be in the sukkah. Ukshemeivin, says the Shulchan Aruch, ukshemeivin umedaktek b'ma ha-shiko. Provided that you are able to understand and read accurately and properly what you're learning. However, if you feel that this is a Gemara, it's an explicit Gemara in Sukkah, that if you feel, however, that your learning is not, that you're not learning well in the Sukkah, you cannot settle down and you cannot focus, you cannot concentrate, it's just that little bit uncomfortable. It's just that little bit you want to have your place, your proper, you don't feel properly settled, then you could learn at home. So as long as you are able to learn and focus just well in the sukkah, you should do it in the sukkah. But if you feel that it's disturbing your learning, you could go in the house.
I
see. I never heard this approach. I never heard this. That's interesting. You're saying that if it's
but when it comes to proper stuff,
you want to be learning in the Mismedesh. Because I like your Duke very, very much. Because the reality is that the poets can say, what if somebody learns generally, he learns in the Mismedesh? So should he learn rather at home? Or should he learn rather in the Sukkah instead of the Mismedesh? The answer is no. If Teshuva came to do. Sure, if you're normally learning in the Bismedesh, you should learn in the Bismedesh. It doesn't mean that you should go away from the Bismedesh and learn in the Sukkah. It means that what you normally would do at home, you do now in the Sukkah. So perhaps your Duke is very, very accurate. Perhaps it's talking about the Kohen, because normally the deeper learning, a person would probably, I don't know if that's true in Shulchan Aruch's times, but nowadays, probably when it comes to the, often a person would learn in the Bismedesh. The Mishnah Berurah says, so it all depends really on a person's situation, what he prefers. Same when it comes to davening as well. Shulchan Aruch continues, Amispalel, if a person davens, for some reason he's davening not in the Bismedosh. So Rotza Mispalel Besukkah, Oichutz Lesukkah. Here again, if you are able to daven in the Sukkah, you should do so. Oichutz Lesukkah, but if you feel that you cannot daven in the Sukkah, you should go outside of the Sukkah. Mishnah Berurah Sifkot Mechovches says, going back to the learning, learning shouldn't suffer. Davening shouldn't suffer. All the ruchnistic activities of a person will do shouldn't be suffer from being in the sukkah. So if you're davening or learning is better at home, you should do it at home. Mishav is alav sivkot mchov tes. How could it be your inyan? Vim daito mishav is besukkah. Sheish le menucha sham. Many people will experience that they can learn very well in the sukkah. Many people will experience they can daven very well in the sukkah. So they should definitely do so in the sukkah. Lo yimeit basukkah. Rifo motzu sheish koiru mitztari meyeshev sham har baliko yisvil ayin belimudo yipoto. And if it's freezing cold, of course, he's exempt. But as a default mode, a person should spend time learning in the sukkah. Some people tend to learn with a lot of sforim. Some people, just like the Shulchan Aruch, just like the Gemara, and they sit and learn. Others will need a sefer here, a sefer there. What happens? What happens if a person is starting to learn? He wants to look at another Gemara, and then he needs a Ritva, and then he needs a Shulchan Aruch, and then he needs a Mishnah Berurah, and then he needs an Aruch Lanai, and then he needs a Sfar. And that's too much of a Tircha. If it's at home, it just gets up and takes it, and if it gets... But But if the sukkah, it's too much of a tircha to get up every second to go back into the dining room and get home. Is that an exemption or not?
Why not?
You think that should be an exemption? Why? That's,
it's mitztaya. And
it's mitztaya.
For the amount of time he, if he's going mamash backwards and forwards.
If a person is on that level of a smod, you say that it's, you know, this minute or two will affect his.
You do chazara while he's walking.
He's saying that if it's touch him, ask me. He's saying that he should go and shouldn't be lazy. Come on, get up and get yourself and go back in the circuit. It's interesting. There is a famous. They say, I do not know if it's true. I don't know if it's true. I believe it may be true, but I cannot say it with full confidence. I heard years ago.
Everything you said is true. Don't.
Yeah? Even if it's not, it will be when I say it. Yeah, okay, so they say that the Chazon Ish was a very weak person. Chazon Ish was naturally very weak. He suffered. He writes in the. That's a fact, because he writes that in the letters many times, that he feels very weak and very frail. Chazon Ish was not a healthy person. He had a lot of stomach problems. He was not well. He was very weak. And he writes that in numerous places in his letters. And they say that when Chazon Ish writes, in a few places he writes, people write about a certain sefer, certain questions or something, you're showing him, and Chazon Ish replies and he says, the sefer is not tachas yodi. The sefer is not, normally we translate, it's not, I don't have access to the sefer. Ein sefer tachas yodi le'ayin boy. The sefer is not available for me to look into it and check what exactly it says. Normally that's understood that, traditionally what he means is that, you know, I don't have the sefer to go into the library to start getting the oitzah sforim and to go to search that sefer. I can't spend hours and days looking for that sefer, and therefore he says ein tachas yod, it's not available for me to check that sefer. That's normal understanding of ein tachas yod. It's not on the. They say that the Chazon Ish, when he wrote that, that ein tachas yod meant he may have been in his sforim shank. He may have been in his sforim shank. He may have been right there, but he was too weak and too frail to start getting up. He was very to start getting the sefer from the thing. He was old. He was frail. He was there, and it was a question of bittul Torah. Chazon Ish really, by him, was really a question of bittul Torah. So they say again, I cannot take full achrayus for this. They say that when Chazon Ish writes ein tachas yod le'ayin boy, he meant that he was sitting in the sefer, wasn't on the table. So what will be in such an instance over here? So the Mishnah Berurah says as follows. Mishnah Berurah says in Seif Koton, in the end of Seif Koton Choftes, Im yesh lo teirach rav, if it is a great tircha, don't know what that means, if it's a great tircha, lehovi sforim harbe, to bring numerous sforim, lelimudoi basukah, to learn and further his studies in the sukkah, efsha, it could very well be, says the Mishnah Berurah, the pot that is exempt. However, if there is sufficient space to place the sforim in the sukkah, kol achag throughout the entire yom tov, chayev is certainly obligated. The ain zeterch, because that's not considered a tircha. So the Mishmur says to go and get the sefer from the inside, that might be a tircha, and you might be exempt. You may be exempt. But ideally, what you should do, you should take the sforim that you need, the sforim that you use. So Masalach Sukkah, Shulchan Aruch on Hilchas Sukkah, Mishnah Berurah on Hilchas Sukkah. The sforim that you're going to use, those sforim you should keep in the sukkah if you can, because then you don't have any tool that it's start to go in. And so. But it is interesting that if you cannot place the sforim in the sukkah, Mishnah Berurah says perhaps it's potu. I think it very much depends on your sukkah and in your dining room. Depends about how far. If it's really a real tircha, you know. I'm thinking about the Swiss sukkahs that people live in flats. Oh. Yeah, and you're in the third or fourth floor. Yeah, that's where you place. That's where your dining room is. That's where you spot them are. The sukkah, you have to go all the way down, then another few steps, and then you go into the courtyard. And then you have to squeeze through two sukkahs, and then you have to go in, and then you have to close. So that I can hear, maybe it's mitzvah. My shver tells me that in his days, when he was a kid, they lived in Denmark, going the 1940s, so he told me that his whole youth, he remembers, that used to take the pots down on ropes. Pots with ropes, can you believe it? So they lived in flats as well, that was what they had lived in Denmark. And the sukkah was in the courtyard. And the way to bring the pots was a rope, and the single, and they would to pull down the thing until you reached the sukkah. And then, so that's that. So yeah, you can hear that it's, That's a tircha. But just to run in and out, probably an obligation to do.
I was wondering whether you can have a chalik between. It sounds to me, I might be wrong, that the What Mishnah Berurah is describing is you know which Sfarim you're going to be using.
Oh, I see. But if it's a random Sefer, it's telling me.
If in the middle of your learning, you think, oh, I want to look this up, and I need a different Gemara to look this up in a cross reference.
Yeah, it could be. Yeah, but what I want to point out as well is something. There's an interesting point which is very, very crucial that we must understand from here. The Achronim bring in the Shulchan also the Ochlaner. They bring over here. They bring a point that is really important for us to realize and internalize and understand. You see, he says that if you can bring the Sfarim, say you live in a sukkah which is a bit complicated to access. And your flat is upstairs in the sixth floor, and your sukkah is down there, and you want to get a sefer. So say it's mitzvah. You don't have to go and schlep your sefer from up there. I hear that, but he says if you can, what should you do? You should store it in the sukkah if you can. So what does that teach us? You saw it. There's lomdus over here. The lomdus is you can't just say, "Hey, I'm mitzvah. I can't forget it." No. If there is a way to make yourself non-mitzvah, you have to do it. If there is an opportunity to make yourself into non-mitzvah, you have to do that. I'll tell you why it's an afkamina as well. Cold. If you're cold in the sukkah, it's very common, especially in the evenings. It's cold in the sukkah. So you could say, it's cold now. It's how many degrees? Do you feel like it's a bit chilly? When do you feel it's like getting a bit cold, mitzvah style? What temperature would that be? Mitztai is what temperature?
We live in a weak generation.
So what would you say? What would you say is Mitztai can go in?
For the average person.
Average person.
Not for your small children.
Well, it depends what you used to.
Let's put a rough number. Let's say five.
Less than 50.
Five? I think five is a bit, yeah, okay. So let's say five. So now, what about, so you could say, it's that kind of temperature, it's freezing cold, I'm going in the house. Mitztai. Now, do you have an obligation to get into the sukkah some sort of heating element which makes it warmer in the sukkah? Do you have an obligation to do that? It's not going to be 5 degrees anymore in the sukkah once you put that in.
You can say, do you have an obligation to make a sukkah roof? Waterproof sukkah roof?
That's different because the sukkah roof is only once it rains. That's to protect the sukkah. The sukkah roof is not there to make an obligation. It's not going to create an obligation. I am talking about make a further obligation, a continued obligation in the sukkah that you shouldn't say call yourself mitzvah. And the chiyuv will remain there. And Rabbi Yisai, what we are saying in this Mishnah Berurah, yes, you got to do it. Yes, you got to do it. You cannot say, whoa, mitzvah, I'm running off. No, where's your oven? Where's your scarf? Where's your jumper? Put on a pom-pom hat. Get yourself organized. You have to do that. So, if a person goes into the sukkah and it's a bit cold, before he runs inside the house and it's a mitzvah, he should put a coat on. And then he's not going to be a mitzvah anymore. Everything has got levels, and everything has got... But we're singing in the Mishnah Berurah, there's such a halacha, and again, the Ochlaner brings away the obligation of bringing an oven into the sukkah, a heating in the sukkah. Now, the Mishnah Berurah Lamed speaks about... We spoke about davening and learning. The Mishnah Berurah mentions now the Kiddush goes without saying because we're all going to make Kiddush in the sukkah. What about Havdalah? What? Yeah, so Sivkot Lamed, the Mishnah Berurah says, last few words, just before Sivkot Lamed Aleph, Mishnah Berurah says, Havdalah Mavdil Besukkah, Kol Hashanah Mavdil Beveis, so yeah, Havdalah is to be done in the Havdalah, you make Havdalah in the Sukkah. That's, everybody does that, we make Havdalah in the Sukkah. The question is, with regards to the Havdalah?
In Shul.
Okay, so yeah, in Shul, so generally, the Shuls that do make, they normally don't make on the
Sukkah.
They don't make. So yeah, the Shuls, they have this beautiful, ancient, beautiful, beautiful minig of making Havdalah in Shul, they will not do that on Shabbos, on Motzei Shabbos Chol HaMoed Sukkos. However, Rabbi Yisai, the question is, what is the question with regards to Havdalah? Leishev. Leishev. Rabbi Yisai, this is one of those questions. Leishev, do you say Leishev after Havdalah in the Sukkah, yes or no? So what's the argument?
If you're about to wash for the
blood. No, I'm not about. No. If I'm about to love the Malka, you're 100% right. But if I'm not.
You're saying
we're saying that just like by Kiddush, if your person is kovea on the wine, then you're going to make, by Kiddush, right? You make Leishev on the wine because we know it.
You make kovea for the one on the Shabbos, right?
So you think they're contrary. However, when it comes to Abdullah, you wouldn't.
You're not being prepared soon after.
Yeah. Yeah.
There's a minotaur in Malcolm, but it's not connected with
Abdullah. So therefore you say that a person does random Abdullah, he should not make Leishay.
Kids from Malcolm Suda would be connected, but yeah, you don't make
Leishay. Yeah. What's the meaning of it? What do people do?
Can you drink wine outside the sukkah?
No. If you're kuvea, if you're
can't you do two reverses? Because that normally works with kiddush. If you have two, then you can say you're
not. Yeah. So I'll tell you what. So there is a controversy in the poskim. It's not clear if a person makes leishave, if a person makes hagofen on Abdullah, that it remains a machlokes. And I don't know what the general meaning is. I don't know what people do. Rabbi Zalman speaks about it, and other person, I don't know what everybody should do according to his minhag. I think that some people do, some people don't. I know what many people do. I don't know. I'm saying I do what some people have the minhag of getting out of shilas, and what they'll do is
Milav Malka straight away.
That's one option. I didn't think of that. I thought of something which what we personally do is that you make after you get what you do. You make I just saw Rabbi Shlomo Zalman also did that. Takes a mezonis afterwards. You make a mezonis because on a mezonis anyway you can make leishev. So you make you combine it with the mezonis, and therefore it's not hard. You can always have a piece of cake will always go down well. So you can make the leishev with make a leishev not just purely on the havdalah, but you're going to make a mezonis as well. So that covers it. Just in case the hagofen is not strong enough to make a leishev, you're going to make a mezonis as well, and thereby for sure obligating him making leishev. Very good question. That itself is a machlokas in its own right. So a lot of people will make the leishev. That depends very much on the minhag, because there's arguments on both sides. A lot of people will make a leishev after the havdalah. They make a leishev, and then they make the mezonis to make the leishev. And then one second, I make the leishev. The mezonis. And then mezonis, and then the leishev. Mezonis, and then the leishev. Yeah, you make
it.
Yeah, so you make a hafsik. Either you make a hafsik, and then you make another leishev. Or, like he suggested, that if you don't have a hafsik, then sure, then you made the leishev, and you're still safe.
Some people do have done sitting down.
Yeah.
So they have to do the leishev first.
No, they wouldn't make it. No, you could sit down and make leishev later as long as you carry on sitting. Yeah. Okay, so that's. Pardon? So how did you make a gofen, leishev, and then afterwards you eat and afterwards you make the mezonis? Yeah. So, but I know there's minhagim about this. There's various minhagim. Yeah, okay, Rabbi, so we carry on. I wanted to see if hay as well, which is the following. Yoduk shomem, areze nichnas lezichabas. When it rains, we go in the house. Meim asay mutelefanois. At what stage are you called exempt? Define rain. Define rain. That's right. Says Shulchan Aruch, Mishir to lezicha sukkah should be sufficiently rainy within the sukkah, should go in the sukkah. Tipois. Drops shemiplusafshel yiposala. If you'd rain into the food, it would ruin the food. It gets like too soggy. Afilu tafshel shel poil, even if it's a tafshel, a cooked dish of poil of beans, you feel once it gets rainy, one drop of rain, okay, we don't care. Two drops of rain, shine. But once it really pelts, the food gets spoiled and ruined, and you can't eat it anymore. What the chiddush over here is, what Mishnah points out, of Kotel Lamed, very, very importantly, Yoduk Shomim, B'Kshem Shemefanim Yipnei Akshomim, just like you would go out because of the rain, Kach Mefanim Yipnei Yashrov Yatushim, it's not just actual rain. It tells us a level of discomfort. Afilu Ein Adom Yitztayer B'Kach, Elo Shemaychal Miskalkal B'Kach, even if you personally are not, if you don't care so much, you personally don't care so much, but the food is getting ruined. Let's say you're a quite easygoing guy. You're quite easygoing. But the food is getting ruined. And let's say your wife or your kids are getting... So that's the rain that you go in. So in other words, it doesn't have to be specifically for you. It's the kind of rain that affects the food that you're allowed to go in. As well. If it's cold enough, if it's so cold that the food's getting frozen, you could go in as well. Gives us a bit of an idea. If the food is nikoshim, if the food is getting, the fatty food is getting frozen, then you can go in the house. And so it gives us a bit of an idea, no? What's called? Yochel achlo bevayis, you can go in. Ven zoich lachzer, at shikmo sudosa, filo yochel achkach machalim achim, she'en mikroshim, even if after you're eating foods which are not freezing, you can still remain in the house. Yeah, so it says that if it's cold enough that some foods are freezing, but all the foods are not, you could go in the house. Yeah.
If your mitzvah, the foods are not freezing, but your
mitzvah,
yeah, you are cold.
Yeah. So the answer is, you are. If you are mitzvah, if you're genuine mitzvah, you're right. It just gives us a bit of a threshold. When is a person allowed to call himself a mitzvah? Gives a bit of indication. So the Ramah continues. You don't actually have to have a food in front of you that is getting ruined. You don't have to physically get ruined. It gives us a threshold. It gives us something to what's the word? It gives us a parameter. It gives us a certain threshold. A threshold that might, even if you personally are not affected, but it gives an idea what kind of rain is called mitzvah. What happens if a person is not a great expert? Fruits and rain, he doesn't exactly know. Yisharu im yaudu kshokach kshomim lebayis, imo yoytze. So figure it out. If this would be my house, and it would be raining that much in my house, would I stay? Would I call in a plumber? Would I go out? Would I do something? Would I deal with it? Yoytze mizu kosagam ken. If it's that kind of level, you'd call in a plumber, you'd go out of the house, you'd deal with it, then you should also go out of the, you can go out of the sukkah. Kolz gedaf kebashal yomim voleli shal sukkahs, that's with regards to all the days and nights of sukkahs. Avadai l'rishoyna, for the first night, as we have learned previously, but the first night, tzorech lechol kezayis b'sukkah, you must eat a kezayis in the sukkah, afim kshomim yodim, even if there is rain. Yeah. Now, I'm going to leave the discussion for tomorrow in terms of the first night, but the Mishnah Sifkot Lamed Gimel is telling us, Sifkot Lamed Beis is telling us the following. What about if strong winds? Strong winds, an exemption? Strong winds?
Nah? If it's still standing,
if the sukkah is standing, then be. So, yes, the Mishnah says as follows. If there's such strong winds, that there's strong winds in the sukkah, that is part of the schach which is falling into the food, some of the schach is falling right into the food. If that's bothering you, you're bothered by that. You can go out of the sukkah. So if the wind is strong enough that there's things falling into the, that's also considered a sufficient reason to go in the house. And finally, Lamed Gimel. What happens if it's raining, but it's not raining into the place where you're sitting? You've got a large sukkah. It's raining in the other side, the other edge. So you should stay in the sukkah as long as it's not raining in your place. Rabbi Sai, if it's raining in the sukkah, but it's not raining where you are sitting, you have to stay in the sukkah.
Well, how does that work?
You have to, look what Mishmur said. He said you could even say leishet.
How does that work when there's a whole group of people and you want to play the roof? Because where you're sitting, it's raining, but where I'm sitting, it's not. So I'm sitting there saying,
swap places.
Let's keep the roof open.
Swap places.
Close the roof already. I'm getting.
I know. It's interesting. It's very interesting. Also, I'm not, because most people are probably bothered by the rain if it's raining in somebody else. I'll tell you why I'm struggling with this, Mishnah. We'll finish off with that for this evening. I'll tell you why I'm struggling. I'm leaving out with a question. My question is as follows. We're learning now, the Mishnah taught us that if it's raining into the sukkah, but it's not raining into my plate, I stay in the sukkah and I can even still let Selei shave. If it's not raining in my place, I stay in the sukkah. One second, what did we learn 2 minutes ago? Literally 2 minutes ago, what did we learn? We learned that it's a threshold. If it's that, even if it's not raining into your plate, but it's that kind of rain that's bothering people, if it's that level of rain, we learned, you go in the house, you go out of the sukkah. So, how does that make sense? If we're learning that it's a shear, it's a level, it's a threshold, So, say if it's a threshold, then surely you breach that threshold. If it's in your sukkah, the other side of sukkah, but if in your sukkah it's raining, so it's reached that threshold. I would have argued, I don't know, maybe.
That
pardon?
Maybe that part.
Maybe that part. You split the sukkah into various parts. Rabbi said, to summarize what we covered this evening, B'siyat Yishmai, we learned, Baruch Hashem, we learned that 7 days a person should, well, the entire sukkah is a person reads and learns in the sukkah. He should learn and daven in the sukkah, provided that he can concentrate and focus. If he's unable to do so, he goes in the house. Further, we learned that if it's raining, you go into the house. What's considered sufficient rain that is exempt? If he goes into the sukkah, that the rain is going to the sukkah, that it's ruining your food. Even if the food is not in front of you, but if you feel that it's sufficient that it would spoil the food, you are exempt, says the Shulchan Aruch. We learned that that Havdalah is also to be recited in the sukkah. We mentioned that there's a machlokes in terms of leishev. We also learned that if it's freezing cold, then a person is also exempt. We learned that if there's strong winds that are blowing pieces into the sukkah, that's also an exemption. And we also learned that if the chumrah that we learned, finally, it was that if a person sees that it's raining in the sukkah, however not in his part of the sukkah, is still obligated. In fact, Mishnah Berurah says you could even still say, lay shave. Okay, that's it for this evening, Abayi Sayyid.